On this episode of Football 301, Matt Harmon joins me from the Combine in Indy, and we talk about the offseason. We talk about some things we want to see this offseason, whether it's the free agency, whether it's the draft, some player team fits, whether it's a trade that we finally just want to see done because we're tired of talking about it. Very fun show from Matt from Indy. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice, and we are live from Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. We're going to talk about some off-season moves that we want to see today, kind of fantasy booking, some fan fiction, or just some storylines we want to see end at some point because we're tired of talking about them. That seems like a theme of some of our things, some of our answer for this. But I am joined, as always, not always as always, but kind of as always, my guy, Matt Harmon. How are you doing today, Matt? Feels like I just saw you about 6 hours ago.
Yeah, which is truly troubling. Yes. It was only 6 hours ago that we saw each other. But yeah, no, it's good, man. It's been a good week. I've talked to just so many people, like way more than normal. I need a full day of silence. That's kind of what I need. Silence from myself. Tired of hearing the sound of my own voice, that is for sure. But very excited to do the show with you.
Oh, sure. I know. It feels like every time I do shows, I'm like, I need to carry mints around. It's like, because I'm just talking way too much and way too long every single day. But no, we're going to be talking even more today about some offseason moves we want to see, but also some news items as well as we some stuff goes around the NFL, because it never stops in the NFL. First off, we had, well, I don't want to step on your toes, but we had a trade. Mm-hmm. And this was an interesting trade because it was a player-for-player trade between the Jets and the Titans. And they traded Jermaine Johnson for Devondre Sweat, just like we all expected. You know, those are two hot names on the trade market hitting it.
Headliner.
Yes. Jermaine Johnson, I believe his contract is coming up. Final year's contract. Edge player, has had injuries, but has been on the field, been a nice, solid, good player. Devondre Sweat had a real nice rookie year. He had questions actually when he was at the combine his year about his weight, about off-field stuff. It's more just kind of commitment to the game. Kind of saw a little bit more of that the second year. Yeah. Little trade here as the Jets try to find a Quinnen Williams, I guess, replacement. Just another young stab at a guy, young dart throw. They did it with A.D. Mitchell. Now they're doing it here with Sweat. And then now Jermaine Johnson is reuniting with Robert Saleh in Tennessee as an edge. But what did you think about this?
Makes sense. Tennessee definitely needs more edge presence, that's for sure. Gives him some flexibility at the fourth overall pick to say, hey, like, we got a young guy in the building here. We don't have to pigeonhole ourselves into an edge rusher at this standpoint. That's kind of what some of these moves are at this stage, is being able to give yourself optimal flexibility if you're one of these teams like Tennessee that has a lot of needs.
Yes.
So that's the thing here is I think that's the biggest takeaway. But yeah, it's a nice stab on a guy who's obviously played for Robert Saleh before, should, you know, fit the system, the whole deal there. But that's a Sweat part of this going back to New York is interesting because, you're right. He had a really nice rookie year. Really nice rookie year. And then just, I mean, what went well in Tennessee last year? Nothing, essentially. So maybe you can write it off to that, but you're not really quite sure what you're getting if you're the Jets, and that's an entire team right now that I'm not quite sure what we're getting.
Yeah, and it's one of those where it's like, okay, he needs to go to a place that can really, like, maybe some vets and be around him, maybe not a team that's been losing a bunch. So he goes to Tennessee, and it's like, okay, well, maybe he finds a new – and he goes to the Jets, and it's like, oh, man.
Going from a team that's picking fourth to second.
Yes. And, yeah, Sweat is – he's so talented. He's huge. He's got light feet. Just watch his interception he had his rookie year, I believe, against the Bengals. And you get to see he's throwing a stiff arm out there. Like, he has talent, like true Pro Bowl talent. It's just that you can't rely on him. And that's going to kind of hang over his head until he proves otherwise. So I do think that I think it's for the Jets, it's just they need to do this stuff. Like, all right, if we're not signing Johnson, we don't want to fully commit to him. New regime, all that stuff. We didn't draft him. All right, might as well get someone that's going to kind of like reset the contract years. Maybe get a spot that's like, all right, we don't have anybody there anyways. Mm-hmm. So maybe drop in a player that maybe we get more out of, just like they did with Mitchell. That just like Mitchell had some nice moments once he joined the Jets after the Colts traded him, and that Sauce Gardner trade is kind of a throw in. So
first trade of the offseason.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not
a big banger, but you probably said the word maybe, I would say, five times within 15 seconds there. And, like, that's the NFL offseason. It's a lot of, well, maybe this, maybe that.
Maybe this.
And I had a whole conversation with Justin Boone today on the fantasy show, and it was just, we were talking about quarterbacks and everything. It's just a lot of stretch jobs and a lot of selling it, you know, and like, okay, we'll see, you know, how this all goes. But that's what this offseason really does feel like. It's a lot of teams trying to sell you something, trying to do the maybe thing. And it's that time of year, man.
It's Ben Johnson saying Tyson Bagent is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league. Yeah. Like, you know, that, and it's one of those where I did a Bear show the other day, and it was just like, okay, we were talking about it, and they're like, he really likes him. It's like, oh, no, really? No kidding. Like, I actually could see that pretty easily, even as an outsider.
And when I said to you last night, we had dinner, great time, by the way.
It was very nice dinner
together last night. And I said, like, I can already see the headline now in the 2030s. Ben Johnson gives up play calling duties to offensive coordinator Tyson Bagent. Like, that guy is 100% going to be on his coaching staff.
Yes.
Whenever he's done playing, he'll be on the Davis Webb, the Sean Mannion, the David Blau timeline. He'll be like a 30-year-old offensive coordinator. So, yeah, I mean, he clearly likes him a lot. We'll see if another team likes him enough to make him like a full 17-game starter or whatever.
I didn't even we talked about it, and I do like him. He had pretty good preseason film. I also double checked it, just like, was I kind of misremembering things? I was like, no, okay.
It's always good
to
stand by those takes. You say it, and then you double check.
I was like, okay,
it.
I'm going to stand by these takes. We're good. But they kind of approach the idea of Ian Cunningham going to the Falcons now. Is that like a sneaky Falcons one? Yeah, but the Falcons have no picks. So it's like, all right, it might be a 2027 draft.
That
was like, okay, that's somewhat of one I didn't even think of with Cunningham going there. But it was like, and they have quarterback questions with Penix and everything. And then Cousins is on the way out. So I actually kind of was like, all right, I'm marinating on that one. But we're going to talk about some other trades, because another quarterback has been kind of officially put on the trade block, I guess is the best way, when there's been plenty of smoke and the team really has indicated that they're over this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was pre or post orbital bone or whatever it was, but Anthony Richardson, Colts quarterback, is more or less officially on the trade block. Yeah. He's been from the Colts. He has the freedom to seek a trade. It's kind of like, all right, let's get this officially going. But Richardson is your first offseason hope, I believe.
Yes. I've got the landing spot for him, and it's not one that you guys think here. Yes. By the way, I love the headline from Stephen Holder, the report's like, Anthony Richardson has regained vision in his right eye. I'm like, that's a good first step. Good first step to rehabilitating your career as a quarterback, being able to see out of both of those eyeballs. That's a good first step. So with Richardson, I think he should be traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know everybody's going to send him to Minnesota, right? Obviously, that's the one. There's the clip of him and KOC, you know, loving each other up in the middle of the field during the game a couple years ago. But to me, I think, one, Richardson can go somewhere here where it can rehab his value. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that clearly needs to like grow. And you get better by playing, sure, but I think he could also take a beat. And there's also a chance here that he plays for the first month of the season.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a good ecosystem to get dropped into. Obviously, we have our questions about Kansas City and just the structure of the offense.
So much.
The personnel around. I do, but they're in a good position, I think, to address some of those concerns. Yeah. Will they? Obviously, it's a different question. They definitely need to do it. But again, for Richardson to come in there, get in sort of the Andy Reid teaching zone there, Eric Bieniemy, it's a guy that he can push him, you know, I think. So like I said, I'm obviously skeptical of just a lot of what's going on Kansas City Chiefs offense-wise, but still, like, they might need a guy to start the first month of the season.
There's a fun one. I didn't even think about that one. That's kind of a perfect way to, like you said, rebuild his value. He can play those first month or two, whenever Mahomes comes back, X date. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's just like an interesting flyer on it as well. I didn't even think about that one.
They need to improve their run game too, and that can be like a way
I'll
to
be talking about that. Don't you worry.
Yeah, yeah. That's like a thing they can start to do, mix in sort of him as a running quarterback, get their run like rushing efficiency going. If again, this hypothetical world where he's starting the first month of the season. And like I said, then he rehabs his value, and then you can trade him in the next offseason or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you think what is Anthony Richardson's trade value now?
I've been looking at what Trey Lance went for, which was a fourth. Yeah. That's kind of where I kind of view that. And even guys like Pickett, I always bring him up
Pickett comes up quite often.
quite a bit, because I never see why you get so many transactions. But he went for, a fifth or a sixth or something of that sort. So I think a fourth would end up being his value, maybe eke out a third if a lot of teams are interested, but I think it's a fourth. The Vikings is the team that comes to mind for me, because it's just like, I think KOC is fond of Richardson a little bit, even outside the hug and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that everyone memes. Richardson's 23, man. He turns 24 in May.
the thing with Minnesota is, like, it feels a little too samey with
J.J. McCarthy.
It's a guy that struggled to stay on the field. Yep. He hasn't taken a lot of reps.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that already with McCarthy.
They're literally the same, like, metrics, too, like, yeah. about, like, inaccuracy and all that type of stuff. Yeah, yeah, and not in a good way. Not in a good way.
So it feels like Minnesota probably wants to go for more of either just, like, a clear-cut solution or, like, a veteran to be like, hey, we're just competing. A Geno Smith type, right? Like, we're competing with J.J. McCarthy, but then that guy wins the job and he starts all 17 games. Richardson would be just like, all right, it's a messy sort of two guys enter, one man leaves sort of quarterback battle.
No, that's kind of been my drawback with that, is that just like they have the same exact question marks. They have same stuff about accuracy, stuff pushing outside, how much they understand the offense, those types of things. But with Richardson has traits, like that's like, okay, that's one nice part about it. I know all these quarterback landing spots. I mean, we did a whole show on it. Like even Kyler is like, you know, he's for sure gone from Arizona. I do think there's talent in Kyler, but that you can tell the league is just so down on him.
I know.
And so, like, that's where does he end up? I'm like, to me, it's the Jets. I'm a bit, like, just, I know. But it's just, woof. Like, I know. I'm so curious how these guys all end. And, of course, Tanner McKee, who I always bring up, but Spencer Rattler, all these guys are interesting because it's like, I might like them, but it's like, which teams like them? Yeah. And do they like them at a certain value?
How much do they like
them? And they have to have a plan for it all. So, you know, again, Richardson's 24 in May. He's younger than a handful of young quarterbacks that are like have come in the league after him. So it's just one of these things where I've kind of put it as I said I had a garden on Anthony Richardson Island. It might just be one little stem. Might be one little
you have
rock.
A flower pot.
I have a pebble in the flower pot, you know, that you just like to add to the landscape. That's all I have right now, but I still have it. But all right, we'll move on to my first one of things I want to see happen this offseason. I'm really obsessed with the Jags because I think the Jags can make a push.
When has this ever gone wrong for you before?
No, no, I know. Because we are the National Jags pod. And every kind of like, if they nail this offseason, I talked about this with Mina Kimes, is that they could make a push, like a real push. I know they won double-digit games, division, all that stuff, but they can make a real push to the Super Bowl. They could have done it this year if things broke right for them. Obviously, losing to the Bills is not one of those things that broke right for them, but they could have made a run because this AFC is so wide open. I just look at all these teams. There's so many questions. Feeling better about the Ravens and, you know, making a push again as kind of like these stalwarts of the conference. Yeah. But the Bills have a lot of question marks. They'll still be pretty good because of Josh Allen. Chiefs have a lot of question marks. They'll still have talent. They still have Mahomes, but he might not come back till October like we just talked about. So it just, again, feels wide open. So my offseason want is that they sign one of these Bills offensive line free agents, Connor McGovern and or David Edwards. Now, Jags don't have a ton of cap space.
No.
But that hasn't really precluded a lot of teams from, you know, finding some funny money in there.
Of course, yeah.
But if I think that they sign one of these guys, and it would probably be a guard. It would probably be Edwards because they already have Robert Hainsey in there, the guy they brought from the Bucs. So there's some familiarity
they like
kind of
him,
stuff.
Yeah.
If they upgrade the interior of their offensive line and they upgrade the interior of their defensive line, they can make a real push next year and, like, just shore that up. I think they're well-schemed on both sides of the ball, but that could also fall apart once it becomes a stars battle, a blue chip battle, as Charles always likes to say. So that boosting up that interior of the offensive line and getting a real vet, like a real vet with some pedigree, like that, I think, is the move they have to make. They kind of live in the margins. Like, they kind of try and do little moves, you know, to add them up, red paperclip trades, I kind of want to call it. But it's just one of these things where, I don't know, if they hit one of these guys, and I think these two guys are more sure things than some of the other guys, or Isaac Sumalo from the Steelers.
Yeah.
But just, man, I think if they nail, just add a little injection of talent, even outside the draft, they have all these day two picks, and to get a vet, into offensive lineman that's a legit starter, not just like, fine. Like, these guys are actually kind of small needle movers. I think it would just help them out so much.
Yeah, it feels like it's a meat and potatoes offseason for Jacksonville. Yeah. You know, last year, obviously, the big move is trade up for Travis Hunter. Probably going to play a lot more corner this year, as we've talked about. This is funny. This is now the NFL's way of, like, news breaks like three times. It's like December. It's like, oh, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
January, team says it. February, like Kirk Cousins. It's
yes. Like, oh my God, how many times have you been released?
He's been released every month. Every month. December, they're like,
up again. I was like, did I overstep my hand, like talking about him being released? Because it's like, I feel like it's been said for months now.
It's literally broken once a month.
Yeah.
Like in December, it's like, well, they readjust his contract so that they could release him at the start of the new league year. And then January, it's like, Falcons going to release Kirk Cousins. And then the first thing this week is like, Falcons are going to release. We know, dog. We know.
Yeah. Okay. We say the date every time. And I'm just like, like when free agency starts, like, oh, yo, March 11th, they're going to do, I'm like, okay, that's what I thought, right? Nothing changed, right?
And the Travis Hunter, like, going to play more corner than wide receiver this upcoming year. That's happened like three times. Like, the GM said it in January, and then Cam Wolf, who's great, did a whole segment on NFL Network about it, and it was like, became another news cycle. I'm like, yeah, we know.
We did the cycle.
We're doing it again. what a great sport. Anyways, so that was the big move last year. Obviously, not going to do something like that this year. It feels like, yeah, offensive linemen. I've heard from a lot of people that they're really interested in tight ends this offseason.
Okay.
Jacksonville. So, again, I think part of that is pass catchers, sure, but maybe guys to do more 12 personnel, get into some of those heavier personal packages. They were pretty three receiver heavy last year. Yeah. Obviously, they made, as we've talked about all the time, they've made a lot of investments in that receiver position. So that will make it interesting in terms of how often those guys are going to be on the field. But I think they see it the same way you do. I think they want to get more physical.
Yeah.
They want to really beef up that rushing attack. And Liam Cohen's 1 year as the play caller with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they were much more of like a gap heavy rushing game than what they were last year under with the current staff and everybody in Jacksonville. They're probably moving on from Travis Etienne, who is more of like an outside zone runner. So I think we'll see if they make any additions at running back as well. But I think they want to change that run game up a little bit. Offensive linemen, some tight ends. I think we'll see a lot of that this offseason.
No, I'm going to bring his name up again in another segment, but like Charlie Kolar or Kohler from the Ravens. He's an interesting
block. Kohler?
It's Kohler. What did I say? Kolar?
Yeah.
Kohler. Whatever. It's Thursday at Combine.
Yeah,
but
brother.
He's 27. I can tell you he's 27 years old. I can tell you when he's drafted. I can tell you all that, but I can't say his name.
Also, if we're doing familiarity, by the way, Kate Otten's a free agent too.
Yes, yes.
He played in Tampa Bay. He's more of like an inline, like a true inline tight end, which is funny because Brenton Strange has kind of become that guy
and
too.
I really like Strange. And I think he slots in perfectly for how their receiving room is, or pass catchers, I should say.
Yeah.
He's been a better blocker. Like, he's improved. Oh, he's not great, but he's like fine.
He's not a negative.
Yeah. Last year they tried to invest in a lot of blocking tight ends. Like, they brought in like Quentin Morris. They signed a couple other guys. So they've been trying to address this, but I think they're like, okay, let's get a real guy.
Yeah.
As opposed to coming with these, you know, half options basically. Mm-hmm. All right. What was your next one?
My next one, it's a team that I've been saying I'm like weirdly obsessed with, and I'm going to talk about way too much this offseason. That's the New Orleans Saints. I wanted to see them hit offense hard this offseason, because we were talking about the Saints last night. Because, again, I'm talking about the Saints quite too often. A lot of Saints.
And then who we run into
two folks with the Saints that actually last night that we're having this conversation with. So, and just like, they're a fun team right now, because I think you can look at every skill position room and say, like, we can make some additions here. Running back, I think they can make a big addition there for sure. I think it's time to move on from the Alvin Kamara era. Even if he's still on the roster this year, him as like the clear-cut feature back, you know, I think that's probably it's time to move on from there. You know, he even said like halfway through the year, oh yeah, I could be retired drinking pina coladas. I'm like, if you're saying pina coladas midway through the season, I don't know about all that.
As he's also saying, like, I want to be a Saint forever. And Wait, what?
I want to be a Saint forever because I really like living here and it's cool here.
It's cool. I love the city.
Yeah, sure. No doubt. New Orleans is a great city.
Great town.
So, like, we like guys like Devin Neal on the roster, but I think they could add something to that room. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver, for sure. I think they could make a top 10 pick at wide receiver with either Tate or Lemon, and either of those guys would fit the system. I think Lemon actually be really fun in a Kellen Moore offense because they give you so many free releases and get that stuff, and he'd be perfect with that. And then at tight end, too, like, they were another team that was very, very three receiver heavy last year, and even Juwan Johnson like essentially is a former wide receiver. So they're maybe not a big time pass catching addition at tight end, because I do think Johnson's a nice player, but an inline guy to allow them to be more multiple. And I think the offensive line is you could probably make one addition at guard for sure, but otherwise it's a pretty underrated unit. I just want to see them do the opposite of what I think Washington, who I'm talking about later in the show, they need to correct some of these mistakes. They kind of just were like, hey, got the young quarterback, let's run back the same group from last year and it'll be all good. We'll add like Debo Samuel to the mix. That was fine. But listen, you need to really hit this hard this year with your second year quarterback. And you didn't have the success that Washington did in Jaden Daniels' rookie season, of course. But again, you built a solid foundation. You got a nice young quarterback there. Let's get him improving by improving the situation around him.
Nope, I like that. And I think their offensive line is actually in a decent spot. Like, they could, like, again, like you even said, you were talking about the skill positions. Like, they could go anywhere.
And
I go, yep, that makes sense. Like, that truly makes sense, whether it's because they've been, some people have had Jeremiah Love going there. I'm like, that's a little rich, because I think they could address other spots.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just my Devin Neal fondness.
I get it, though. If that
staffers
up,
like him.
Yes, we know that. But, like, if they went running back you know, that high. Yeah, it's a little bit rich. Yeah. I agree.
That's why receiver just makes a lot of sense.
The receiver one makes just so much sense there. Because like I said, either one of those two guys, Tate or Lemon, would really maybe they like Tyson. I don't know. I'm a little lower on Tyson compared to those two guys. But I just think either of them would make a ton of sense. Like Olave was, again, this always happens with Kellen Moore. The guy gets the slot snaps go up, right? It was Devontae Smith in Philadelphia. It was Chris Olave last year. So if it's Tate, like just that more pure perimeter guy, I think that would make a lot of sense in this offense. That route tree that they want the X receiver running fits a guy like that. But him and Lemon working in context too, I think that also makes a lot of sense.
Have I told you my Tate comparison?
No.
Reggie Wayne.
Oh, wow. Dude, he gets like a crazy range of comparisons. Because some people say like George Pickens.
Oh.
And I think it's the ball skills and like the way he attacks it. But as a route runner, see, I think as a route runner, he's like better. Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Oh, and obviously George is
great, but
he's awesome now.
Yeah,
but like coming into the league, he ran
two routes basically.
Exactly, and like he was not a good separator whatsoever as a rookie. That is something that's why like I always bristle at the pick and stuff where it's like, hey, he was always this guy. No, he was not always this guy. Year three, year four.
The flashes were there, but not what he's doing
now.
Not
the consistency. Obviously, consistency is never going to be his number one trait, but it's like 90% more consistent as opposed to like 50% consistent. So, that I think makes sense as to who the player he is now coming into the league, very different. But yeah, like Reggie Wayne, and I say like as a route runner, kind of reminds me of Calvin Ridley, two completely different players from George Pickens. Yeah. But I think the point of that is that if he's like Reggie Wayne as a route runner and like George Pickens at the catch point,
it's pretty fun.
That's pretty cool.
He's built a lot like Wayne because Wayne had like longer arms, like kind of the slighter build, but like still fine, but like just a little slighter build, kind of that low mid 190 build. Like, and I think they're about the same height.
Do you like Tate better than you liked T-Mac last year?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still working that.
I was a sucker for T-Mac. I was probably one of the highest guys on him. So that's a tough person to ask still, but like I like Tate a lot, but he's not a. Ted to me was T-Mac was a hard what I call like a blue chip prospect, first round grade. I would say Tate's like a light blue to me. I know this is splitting hairs, but to me this is how I tier it. So to me it's not a guy that you take top 10 every draft. Like that's how I view T-Mac. Tate to me is a guy that like he could start the receiver run. He is my receiver one. Him in Boston, I like Boston a lot more than other people. But I think he starts the receiver run, and I think this is right where that range kind of starts. But I'd be more comfortable taking him at like 18. Yeah. You know, not the team, but just like the range of the draft. So
no, that's how I think about receiver too. The way I do my stack rankings for reception perceptions, like a tier one prospect is you can take this guy top 10 in any NFL draft.
Yep.
Then like true like first round guys, which in certain drafts you can take those guys in the top 10. Yep. To me, last year was like you could take T-Mac at 8 in that draft, and I think you could probably take both of these guys to me, Lemon and Tate, in the top 10 of this draft.
Yeah, so this draft's wide open. That's why, and there's a lot of receivers. I can't wait to talk about all 40 of them with you over the next couple months.
Pack a lunch, baby.
We're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back with a few more off-season things we just want to see here from the Combine. See you guys in a sec. We are back from the Combine, and we are going to talk about a few more off-season moves we want to see, whether it's free agency, whether it's a trade, whether it's a storyline we just want to see end, or a draft pick, which I'm going to talk about right now. We actually got some receiver-centric stuff. I feel like I stole some of your thunder on a couple of them. Nice. But this guy is the one I want to see, and this is a team that I think has a very interesting off-season because they had a really nice season. That's New England Patriots. And I want them to draft freaking Denzel Boston.
Ooh, okay.
And it's not just because of the name association.
Many people are saying that he is the Diet Coke Mike Evans.
I've heard that through the grapevine. And I may have said that on about three or four other pods when I said – I made sure that I said to attribute that. Matt Harmon said this, and he wants everyone to know it, that you compared.
I got to see – where is Denzel? I got to tell him. He's like he's Diet Coke Mike Evans. I got to see him around here somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. I know. But he's a big ball-winning ex, a guy that I'm going to be always higher on than most. I view him like pretty up there. I view him closer to Tate, and I think the consensus is more a guy in the 20s, a guy in the back half of the first round. And Boston to me, though, if you just even look how Drake May used Mac Hollins last year, Denzel Boston is a much more fluid route runner, but was same similar size to Mac Hollins. But just those, he made that work, and I think Boston is several tiers better as a receiver. I also just like, you know, he has some more fluidness. I think he's not like great as a yak guy, but he's kind of gets those simple yak yards. Actually, I think that's where your Evans kind of comparison kind of came from.
Yeah.
Evans just bigger and just more juiced up, but kind of the similar kind of play style. Return punts, which I'm going to bring up every time because it's so crazy to see a 6'4", 215 pound guy returning punts. I think the Patriots could go O-line, and there are some right tackle options and offensive line options. Blake Miller, Max Ihenischer, who I always bring up because I think I'm very high on him as well. I get that, but I just want to see this. I want to see Drake May playing with a real needle-moving receiver who I think Boston can be a one. I think you'd always need auxiliary help with him, but he can do the X stuff. He can win on the outside, and May is going to throw those throws. He throws 99 to Kayshon Booty and has made that work. Denzel Boston has a little bit more to him as far as that skill set to work. And it's just, is he the fastest guy? No, but I do think that they have enough ways to like get over the top. I think May wants to work those intermediate areas, what I call the javelins, the 10 to 25 yard range, as opposed to just always launching go balls. And I think Boston's just kind of perfect at it. So this is a fantasy booking, as they say in wrestling or fan fiction. It's a match totally. I want to see, but it's not just because of the name, but just the play style with Drake May's play style and what they need on this offense.
You can tell I'm operating not at 100% efficiency because the first thing you said there, you're like, not just because of the name, I was like, what the hell does he mean? Boston, New England. Yeah, there we go.
Even Massachusetts.
I am absolutely crushing it today. No, but for Denzel.
Don't worry, I couldn't even say the tight end who I'm going to tout later. It's like the easiest name ever. And I'm like, clear?
We're doing okay. But for Denzel Boston, and just I think to make 2 points about this. One, it might be a fantasy booking, but at the same time, I also think it's instructive as to how New England probably should approach the receiver position this offseason. Number one, I do think it's a priority, no mm-hmm. question about it. But I do kind of like them addressing it in the draft more so than making one of the big name trades or anything. Now, again, Brian Thomas Jr., maybe that's different because he's a younger guy. But, you know, number one, I do think they got to look there. They don't have as much cap space as they did last year to just burn through it. Okay, mm-hmm. So they have plenty. It's fine. You can make a big addition. But I like, number one, getting a cheaper player. Plus, there's somebody to grow with Drake
Correct.
May.
You
probably have Diggs in the room this year. Obviously, we'll see. You'd imagine they'd want him back in the room. But I think, like, having two big-name veterans, that might be a little – you know, politically not great. Mm-hmm. So you get like a younger guy that, you know, Diggs, he's pretty good, like mentor in the room for these guys. I think that would be good to see. And then from a skill set perspective, I actually kind of like, obviously, if we're talking about spectrum, there's a big gap between Mike Evans and Mac Hollins, but it's kind of along the same-ish arc to build archetype of players.
Yep.
And the thing that's cool about Mac Hollins is that when he makes like two sick plays a game, you're just like, well, why don't we throw to that guy more? It's like, well, because the other plays don't, the other routes don't look so good. But he hasn't just been an X receiver for either of his last two teams. He's been
more
like
Z, right?
Been more Z.
Yeah.
Like he's been pretty close to the offensive line, a little more condensed because he helps out a lot in the run game. That's mm-hmm. the other good
that's,
thing. That's
yes,
the other good thing
that's
that he's
what
doing
he
there. And I think that Boston is of a similar archetype too, where you don't just have to put him at X. So you wouldn't have him necessarily taking Kayshon Booty's job, who's become that X. But I also think Booty's a guy that I'd like to see him more
as a Z. I like him as a move guy too.
I think that would make him more consistent
because he's just Booty's just plays down just his skills, like, or I should say his traits, like how he moves is almost better.
He's not the twitchiest guy at all. He's very
kind of let him get some ramp up speed,
exactly, which is why I think he works on those go balls. Plus him and May just have so much trust with each other.
I know, their chemistry is really good.
So interesting, especially when he goes against Derek Stingley for
whatever reason.
But no, I think that Boston would be a good compliment in that way in particular.
And if you're, you know, if you're bullish on Kyle Williams too, like actually Boston, Kyle Williams and Booty actually have a nice little kind of synergy with all their skill sets, because Williams is more going to be a go ball guy, deep ball guy, kind of a loosey goosey.
Though it's funny, like he just almost only lined up outside on the line too,
and ran like it felt like he only ran like three routes too.
Yeah, and I think he was pretty interesting on those plays for sure. I think there's something to him. And Vrabel was talking here the other day about how excited they are about him in year two, which is nice to hear because obviously from a production standpoint, you didn't get a ton out of him, but definitely he's another guy. Like all of their receivers, I think could be really unlocked by getting like a true X in the room here.
I think everyone slots into the right spot. I know that's why I really want to see this. And just like there are a lot of talented receivers. There's similar archetypes to Boston. You know, there's some other big ball winners, but not truly to me in this draft class. You know, as a Brazel from Tennessee, I'm not taking that high.
Yeah,
even if he's freaky and long and everything, but it's just a Tennessee receiver, all
not
that.
Not the Looney Tunes offense.
Like Boston, to me, feels like he can be a nice contributor early. Like
I
there's
agree.
Enough polish to his game that it's like, okay, this guy is productive early. As opposed to like, you know, Kyle Williams, of course, went the third round, but like you kind of knew he would need some ramp
it's
up into his NFL.
The lower levels,
And that offense was just kind of did a lot of screen kind of stuff and a lot of go ball, so he needed more. But like I think there's a lot of polish to Boston that you can kind of hit the ground running. So I just think his skill set really matches like receiver room and May, even if if they go offensive line, I do not blame them. Like, yeah, I totally get it. But this is just one where it's like, I think this kind of pairing matches and exactly where Boston should go. I think consensus wise, I think he should go higher, but I'm not the NFL. So, right, sure. Yeah. But anyways, let's get to your next one, because you're talking about maybe those receiver trades. They shouldn't go down that aisle, but who are those receiver trades that I feel like we talk about every week?
Yeah, I know. And here's the thing. Like, if this is what I want to see happen, I want to see those trades being made. I want to see an A.J. Brown trade. I want to see a D.J. We will see a D.J. Moore trade. I would bet a lot we will see Moore traded. They keep talking about it. It's like, yeah, well,
every door's open.
Every door's open. Yeah, he's that's another one. Like, every month, it's like T.J. Moore trade. We've been doing it since like November, yeah. I think.
Oh,
so
my God.
Yeah, that one for sure. But frankly, like, all these ones that are, you know, receiver rumors, the trade stuff, like Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
With Brian Thomas Jr. Let's swap them all around. Let's go.
I did see some Colts reporter. God, I wish I could attribute to him. But he did say that they're trying to bring Pittman back, too. And I was just like, interesting.
Well, I actually think it's an interesting conversation, and I'm still thinking about it. I think for the Colts, because they have Tyler Warren and Josh Downs to kind of replicate some of the Pittman stuff, that for that team, I kind of understand choosing Pierce over Pittman.
Yes.
But I kind of think in a vacuum, I might prefer Pittman as a player over Pierce.
Just because he does a little bit more of everything.
Well,
kind of does.
Yeah, and he's more reliable. Yeah. Like, he's going to give you more singles and doubles for sure. I mean, you and I are longtime Pierce fans.
Yes. Yep.
Held that stock, maybe sold it low and wanted to buy it back. I mean, I quite literally did that on one of my dynasty teams. So, like, yeah,
I did that with Tucker Kraft.
Yeah.
I had injury stuff and I like gave him away like pretty way too cheap. And then I was like, a year later, I'm trading Sam Darnold for him. I was like, no, I want him back. I want him back on my team.
Yeah. No. So again, literally this is actually something I've done, but I'm a fan of Pierce, but if he starts to get into that like $28-30 million range, that's tough for a player who obviously has strengths but is still a limited player in a way and is not going to be unlocked by every single offense. Like, I think 32 NFL teams could use a Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
32 NFL teams probably want an Alec Pierce, but do 32 NFL teams know how to get the most out of an Alec Pierce type? I think that's a little tough. But I say that to say that I think Pittman, I would get why they would struggle to move on from him, why it's more of like an idea that we would talk about. Not to mention, having said this, but like, he's an awesome guy.
Great guy.
And a huge culture guy for them, a glue guy.
They got a lot of good guys on that team.
Totally,
they really do.
Totally. I think it's why they're like an easy team. They're very likable.
Yeah.
But
they sucker me at all times.
100%.
Not this year. And then that's the one time. I really regretted it.
Well, for a while. It was fine. It was fine in the end. But yeah, just for that Colts example in particular, I do think Pittman might be a tough guy to move on from. But yeah, like, all these guys, I'd actually kind of like to see them change teams, especially for Brown and DJ Moore, the first two ones there. I think they need a fresh start. The team needs kind of a fresh start with them, and I think they could benefit other teams as well.
Yeah, I'm so curious where Pierce ends up. I think he does go back, but I do, like, if he did get to test the waters and whatnot, where he ends up, because his price tag is like, it's one of those things. I love him. Like, I've always been high on Pierce, but also I'm like, how much are you guys thinking about talking? And I know the free agency, this is how it works. Markets work.
Yeah.
Markets do not make sense. But I mean, or they do make sense, but I'm saying, like, their overpays happen. That's how these markets work. It's free agency. But it's like, for him, I'm like, okay. But I feel like if he gets too much, the team he goes on,
the fan base is going to hate him. I said, I'm so glad you said that, because I said the exact same thing to James Coe the other day. I was like, I could, and again, I say this as a Pierce fan, like an appreciator of what he is and everything. But yeah, if you don't know Alec Pierce, like, as a new team, whatever, again, I always come back to the Titans because they just have so much money. I just think Titans fans are going to be like, we paid 30 plus million dollars.
I'd rather them sign Dobbs than Pierce. Like, that's how,
So, okay. I just, but all these trades, I think, will just make the offseason more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them we can lock it in, like Ayuk gone, DJ Moore gone, but even like an AJ Brown. I know the financials of it are going to be really difficult, but it just feels like, as they're clearly transitioning to a new offensive identity, I'd like to see Devontae Smith kind of unlocked as the number one option there.
I'd like to see that too. I'm a big fan of Devontae. I think he's kind of perpetually underrated nationally.
Yeah.
I think everyone realizes he's good, but I think he's like a guy that actually could be a one, one.
Totally.
Yeah. And I know we're both
especially
high
in this system too. And
yeah,
I think
this
you and
off,
I talked
yes.
about this at the Super Bowl, where it was that Giants game, or there was the Vikings game and the Giants game, like back to back, where they were actually running some under center play action. And especially that Giants game when AJ was out before the bye, Devontae was just like, dig route, dig route, dig route, under center play action. It's like, okay, now we just need, that was great. We did it one game. we need to do it 17 games, yes. and we need to do it more than like five times a game.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Can we do it every first down or every?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed
really
to just one,
up.
And then we're like, yay, we checked the box. All right, we're going to, our next one for me, I just mentioned him, Romeo Doubs. And I want the Raiders to sign him. That was a team pairing actually kind of, because I think Doubs is one of these guys that get paid more than people realize. I really like him. I think he could be just a real good two. Like, that's how I kind of feel with him. Like, not a one, and but he might get paid like that.
Yeah.
It's, again, how markets work. But for the Raiders especially, like, again, I think that's another team we're kind of talking ourselves into a little bit. I'm liking what they're doing, but I also just want to see them kind of stick the landing of it.
Yeah.
But, like, the idea of what they...
Yeah, the theory is good.
Yes. The idea of what they could do this offseason is really, really nice to see, or really fun to talk about. But with their pass catchers, because you can't say just receivers, because Brock Bowers is their one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be their number one option. But then they got, again, Trey Tucker is the guy I always bring up, but that's the speed guy. That's the speed element. Doubs, that's his one thing he's not, like, I would say a plus guy at, is like his speed's just okay. But he's got good ball skills. He complements those guys, those pass catchers. Jack Besh as well, he complements that. They don't have as much like overlap.
No.
They actually kind of unlock each other.
Yeah.
Where Doubs can be the outside guy. Trey Tucker can be the speed outside guy. Besh can kind of be the power slot, move Z, whatever you want to call it, with Bowers there too. And then, of course, Ashton Jeanty, and we'll see how the offensive line goes. But like, they have space. And this is one that actually makes more sense than I at first would first blush, because it's like, man, Raiders need a lot. They shouldn't just be splashy free agents. But it's like, this one actually makes a lot more sense as I marinate on it. And even like a team like the Titans, like those kind of lesser teams, I actually think Doubs is a good answer for them, because he can be just kind of a nice steady Eddie for whoever the quarterback is, the young quarterback is.
Yeah, I think that room would make a lot of sense, and just nothing made sense with the Raiders last year.
Right,
and
right.
It's actually funny. I think we don't do this enough at a week like this, but... And it was like, look back at things, and because now people will talk about it, right? Like, people will be lying to you in the year that it happens. And I guess I've just had...
And afterwards, they act like it's so obvious. Oh, it's everybody knew they were fighting.
Right. But it's just funny. And I think because their like approach to Dante Thornton and Jack Besh just like pissed me off so much last year that I'm still wanting... I want answers for that. And I've talked to people this week, and they've been like, oh, yeah, well... The offensive coordinator didn't want this guy, but then the coaching staff wanted this guy, but the front office, and it was just like, it's a proof
classic.
Of concept of like, yeah, there's way too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Now I think the idea here is that everyone will be on the same page, will be going in the same current here. And I think a guy like Doubs is kind of what they need. Like they do need an X receiver,
because
maybe Thornton can be that guy in time, but to the fact that they just pushed that guy into the deep end as a fourth round pick out of the Looney Tunes Tennessee offense was truly insane. And it was only because, well, he's our biggest and fastest guy. And like, but Jack Besh shouldn't be an X. You know, obviously Trey Tucker shouldn't be an X. They do need that guy, but they also, to your point, don't need somebody to be an 8 to 10 target guy a game. And Doubs is not that. He's a good player. He's kind of dig route merchant complimentary. Is how I've been referring to Romeo Doubs. I mean, that's obviously critical in this offense, but you need to find ways to get Brock Bowers the ball 8 to 10 times a game. So getting an X receiver like this, that would certainly help.
Yeah, again, it's just kind of like their usage makes sense. Just in my brain, it was like one of these, where I was trying to find some of these things to talk about. And Doubs is just so interesting to me because he's a guy I was always just kind of like fine with, like whatever. And we've talked about endlessly this year, but I'm just like, he's kind of good, man. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
he's not a sacrificial X anymore.
Yeah,
he
anymore.
Started as actually the guy that made me think of the term sacrificial X first, but now he's become a lot more.
In Nevada, he ran like two routes from one side. Like, it's just, and that's again why he's got a unique personality, as I put it, which is kind of fun actually to see kind of his growth as a person with the Packers.
Yeah, sure.
And I think like he's kind of clicked for him as a hard worker and stuff. So it's a guy that you're willing to pay. That's another thing with free agency. You also have to. Who am I about to spend a lot of money on? Are you going to be a hard worker now, or is you get paid and you're just done? So he just makes a lot more sense than maybe I thought. I'm very curious where he kind of ends up. That's why we're going to be talking about a lot of free agency in the next couple of weeks. But we are going to take our next break, and then we'll wrap it up with a few more offseason things we want to see. See you guys in just a minute. We are back from the combine, and we're going to get into our last couple offseason things we want to see. Mine is the Chiefs. And a two-parter, kind of addressed one earlier this week, but I want to continue that discussion, which is a speedy running back. I talked about ETN maybe being a better fit for them than other teams as I marinated on it. I know they also have interest in Kenneth Walker as well.
Mm.
So same archetype of running back. Talking about archetypes.
Explosive,
iffy vision, pass protection, iffy, but
probably
like
more of a zone guy than anything else.
And that's what all the Chiefs run is zone. I mean, Andy Reid, all he does is zone. He doesn't like pulling guys as much as other teams. He doesn't run duo as much as other teams. It's kind of annoying if you're asking me.
I know. Just like, it's just so weird how I've just become so irritated with the Chiefs.
It's like, and anytime they like change it up, like for a while they're running, GT counter with the guard and tackle, and I was like, nice.
Yeah.
And then they just got away from it. So maybe Bieniemy comes back and that helped like juice that up, but I don't know. But a speedy running back, because I do think the O-line is going to be a plus O-line, like a locked in top 10 O-line, if not better. And I think the other part of that, and this is actually a kind of continuation of what the Jags discussion was, I think a blocking tight end. I had Charlie Kolar. I'm always going to mess up his name.
Kolar. Charlie Kolar.
Okay, thank you. I like
him. The most he's ever been talked about on a podcast.
I know. I like him. That's what sucks. I actually can't think of their name, or I can't say their name properly. But he is a inline guy, but some type of player of that archetype again, the blocking wide tight end. Travis Kelce is just not that player. He's never been that guy. Noah Gray fights his butt off, but he is not he just can't. And Noah Gray should be your third tight end move guy that can be a fullback sometimes, kind of just do a little bit of everything. And I thought this offense, because they run the same stuff, and I'm just really, the Chiefs are just fascinating to me, because it's just like, all right, you guys kind of brought everybody back. All right, where's the splashes coming from? Yeah. Where's the needle moving going to happen? And to me, these little things, these little touches can really boost up everything in their offense. But ever since they've moved on from, you know, not just because of age, but like Blake Bell type, they had a guy that can actually block in line and let Travis Kelce move around. And Noah Gray will fight again, but he's just he's not Blake Bell in that sense.
Bell, throwback name.
I know. So the Bell Dozer, Oklahoma's finest. I do think, though, that's how they can kind of just, I don't say unlock the offense, but just boost it without making like a huge grandiose move. It's just getting kind of a gritty wide tight end draft or free agency.
There's so many things like that for Kansas City, and my fear is that like none of this is going to happen. And I think that's like it, but yeah, getting a true wide tight end, getting a true X receiver, getting like a running back in the mix here.
Getting another pass rusher.
right. And yeah, defensively too, there's a whole another conversation on that side of the ball as well. You have Trent McDuffie trade rumors. The whole deal.
Big fan of McDuffie, by the way. I actually heard the other day, I forgot his name, but I was talking about like elite corners and I didn't bring his name up, and it was not this show or anything, but Trent McDuffie is still
all that matters
underrated
what
a little
on
bit.
This show.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like the WWE. It's only
here,
only in these matches, and this is the only universe that matters. But anyways,
but yeah, no, I mean, again, just offensively, there's so many little an X receiver is like hard to find, but I mean, at the same time, it's just so many things like that they can add to this offense that would really unlock it, make it feel less static. Like I talked about that on the coaching show with you, the static score that I put out when they were in the bottom five, and just so much shotgun, so much spread stuff. Although they've done some good like heavy personnel stuff in the past, and it's just kind of gotten away from it because they have all these receivers that you need to roll cater to, and I just like enough of that already. Yes. Like let's get some real deal receivers, and from a tight end perspective too, you do have to roll cater to Travis Kelce as well. Is this like that? That's like you guys are making it harder on yourself.
Yes, that's you're talking. That's what I was thinking of too. It's like Xavier Worthy has to be off the ball and on the move.
Yeah,
Travis Kelce has to be off the ball and on the move. Rashee Rice has to be off the ball and on the move. When everybody needs that same thing, there's only one guy that can be the movement guy. This is why I was worried about Worthy when they first got dropped in here.
I'm so glad you brought this up about Worthy. And if I was a better podcaster, I'd have sent the producers the tweet. But like somebody put out like a picture of him running the 40-yard dash like this time last year. And I just looking at him, like his arms are just so tiny picture. I know. His shoulder looks like it's about to pop out because he's so small. And it's just like, you can't play that.
He got hurt tripping this year.
He got hurt because ran into each other on mesh.
Yeah.
And like, oh my.
He was out for a while.
Yeah, because Travis Kelce weighs like 100 more pounds than him.
Yeah.
This isn't the exact picture, but like, he's so tiny. And again, that guy has to run outside all the time.
Yep.
He's run outside all the time because you're role catering to Rashee Rice because he has to play in the slots. He's a fake receiver. He doesn't run real routes. He's the Mickey Mouse route tree guy. So it's just like this whole thing is making my brain hurt talking about it. Like, Andy, make your life easier, dog. Like, make some of these additions. I think this team would feel so much better.
And I've had multiple, like, kind of rants this year, but, like, when we did talk about the Chiefs about a month ago, it was really startling when you started looking at the next-gen stats, the speed, all the player weights, they're like 15 pounds lighter by average in the receiver and tight end room than they were when in the 2019 run.
That's the picture.
Yeah.
Look, his right shoulder looks like it's going to pop out.
It really does.
That's crazy.
And that's the thing, too, is like it's – I know I kind of always talk about size, but it does matter for these guys because it's just physics. It's just mass and velocity. I mean, it's physics. So that's what – they need to get bigger, but not slower bigger. They need athletes. They need big athletes at the skill spots to – every single one, tight end, receiver, and running back. And it's like, you got to address it. Have to.
And I just say, too, by the way, because I've just like called him tiny 100 times, Xavier Worthy. Like, I think there's actually a lot more to get out of him as a player.
He improved.
And you just wouldn't know it by the stats at all. And obviously, tough year injury wise and everything. But there's more to get out of a player like that. Yep. You just can't roll cater to everybody. Correct. You can't really roll cater to three receivers. Yep. You got to get somebody that can just like line up and go.
And
this is not revisionist history. I said this exact phrase to you when they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles, and they just didn't do it. No, what are you going to do? So and Rice too, like, that's just not a guy you can count on at this point. We all know the situation there. So I think you all, like, whether you move on, it's like mentally move on, because that's not a guy you're giving a second contract to based on how things have gone.
No, for a lot of reasons now. All right, your next one.
Yeah,
I know.
The
Chiefs. What do you got? It's your Washington.
Yes, my Commanders won. Because you said this earlier, like, Saints probably shouldn't take a top 10 running back. Chiefs probably shouldn't take a top 10 running back.
Where are you going here?
But I think the Washington Commanders should trade down. So I'm just doing this to like be responsible before I do fan fiction. They should trade down and then take Jeremiah Love as the explosive running back.
I gotta have you do a mock. That would get the clicks right there.
Well, we have Mock Draft Monday.
We do.
There we go. Yeah, we're taping it tomorrow.
Yes, we are.
I should have saved this one because I have to make picks for this. Embarrassing. Sorry, Colin. I'm terrible at this job. Anyways. The thing I would think it would be good, though, get Love in this backfield, get an explosive element. I'm really intrigued by this Commanders team. It's another one of the teams like the Raiders and the Cardinals that I was just like, I was out on last year. But like this year, I'm thinking of buying back in. And for Washington in particular, I talked about this with you on the coach's show and the fantasy forecast, like the David Blau idea, and it is an idea, it's just my theory, but like if he brings in some more of those true under center looks here, I think it's going to benefit both the run and the pass game. And I just wouldn't take that as the only thing you're doing here. I also think you need to make personnel additions. You need to be more explosive. And just like the idea of him and Jaden Daniels, Jeremiah Love, Jaden Daniels in the same backfield. Pretty freaking
very
sweet.
Fast.
Very fast, really tough to deal with.
Yeah.
I think that helps you get an explosive element and unlocks the play action game, which the play action stuff under Cliff is just like, you know,
it's flat because it's all the gun, so it's all flash fake stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like this would be, and we'll see, obviously Jaden has to do it.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing. I think they probably make a receiver addition as well. But yeah, Jeremiah Love, again, in a trade down, a responsible trade down, add some more picks for a team that needs some cheaper players on
the
roster.
Though.
There we go.
Like, they're draft capital. Every time I open it, so I'm like, I gasp
where
every
is
time.
It?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like,
happened?
That's right. You did that, and you did that.
Yeah,
because you made a push. Because you
Laramie Tunsil trade.
You didn't learn the lessons of the Texans doing it the year before.
I know.
And now you guys are gonna do it. That's fun. I've been talking a lot actually about Jeremiah Love's kind of landing spot because he's such an interesting player. I think everybody's in unison now that yes, he's a running back, but he's a top 10 player in this draft or even higher in some cases. So I do think, though, his landing spot is that it starts maybe at the Chiefs, but then you look at all these teams and rosters, and they're like, doesn't need a running back, doesn't need a running back. And then all of a sudden it gets into those teams in the 20s. I went on Hogan Johns this week, the Bears pod, and I said, you know, the Bears actually might be more of a valid team taking them. It depends on what Swift. Of course, they're like, Clip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bears might get Jeremiah
Love. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, love you guys. I knew that was going to happen. But I was just kind of like, just as I've done more mocks, as I kind of starting to look where these kind of tier breaks are, which we'll know more after this week, too, as kind of more of a consensus builds, that like his landing spot gets way more wide open than I assumed.
Totally.
But the Commanders is an interesting one. Just lean into it because the defense needs a lot. And I don't know where the ideas are coming from, but they need D linemen. Like they need linebackers. They need healthy corners.
They kind of need a lot.
Like, they need the whole defense. But
yeah.
So what we kind of always say this now when these teams have just like not a real defense. Okay, just go all in on offense.
Exactly.
First to 50 wins. Like it's, you know, it can be fun.
I think the offense could be close because I think the line, like Connerly taking a step in year two. Obviously, Laremy Tunsil was good last year. I think the line is in a pretty solid spot.
Because I think they re-signed Wiley, too. I could be wrong. But, yeah, I think they re-signed a guy as well. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a solid spot there. They just definitely need more dynamism. I don't like that we got a report about, like, oh, Zach Ertz is probably going to be ready for week one.
I know. Listen. Great career.
Great career. But come on. So, yeah, like, I just think they need more young, explosive players on offense, no question. Like, more field tilters. That's what they need. Yep. They don't have any of those guys. And the way they used Terry McLaurin in the old offense, which I don't think will happen this year, it's hard for him to be a consistent element because it's the straight line route tree, one side of the field. Yep. He's easy to scheme out and take out against. You see that when he goes against the Eagles, right? It's all right, we'll put Quinyon Mitchell on this side and we'll shade a safety over there. And it's just like, well, you're never going to throw to him. You're never going to throw to that guy. So I think that would really unlock this entire operation. But yeah, an explosive running back with Jaden Daniels would be really fun.
I hope you got me thinking of Kenyon Sadiq. And I'm just like,
I hope this isn't a February like team that I like, and then we see the moves, and I'm just like, oh, that's kind of.
I have to see how they address the defense before I like.
Totally.
That's it for me because I'm with you. I think the offense could be, again, Jaden had some understanding experience at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's just only air raid guy. It's like he's done it and he's athletic enough to do it. It's just him getting comfortable, turning his back because when he scrambles to run. Like, he doesn't scramble ever to throw. That's how he was college and the pros. That has to change.
Yeah,
he can't take as many hits as he's been taking. Like, it's just, again, it's physics. But I think this offense can kind of insulate himself from having that tendency. He just has to get comfortable with it. But like you said, it's like, I think that just unlocks more real good football. Like, football you win with, like, because you're out scheming stuff because it's just good, solid concepts. So, I am interested in the offense. The defense is just more like,
Well, they could be, you know, our colleague, our buddy Scott Pianowski always has the carnival team in fantasy.
They could
very much be the 2026 carnival team if they do exactly this. They go all in on offense. They kind of ignore the defense. Just one more team to think about running back wise. And I just got to say it because I've said it seemingly 100 times this week. Minnesota is a running back team.
Yeah, because they're going to probably move on from Aaron Jones. Yeah.
They're going to move on from Aaron Jones. Yep. And they're like picking 18th.
Yep.
So that could be, if you're doing mock drafts, and you're doing the experiment where Jeremiah Love falls out of the top 10, because I agree with you. There's not as many open seats as you think. And we have a pretty good free agent running back class, so the seats are going to get filled even then. If you're doing the mock draft, you're doing the experiment of what happens if he falls out of the top 10, Minnesota to 18, that could be a team you look for there.
Yeah, and there's still lack of consensus of who running back two is, and I think that's just still up in the air. It might be Prince, also from Notre Dame, but there's other guys that like are still battling for that. But they're all – not just by me, but just, again, this is why sometimes I have to talk out both sides of my mouth. It's like, I might view something, but how the general league, I think, views these guys as all as round three. You know, like, whoever running back two, running back three, running back four are not, like Hampton last year. Like, where it's like, running back two is really good, too. And actually, there's Judkins, too, and he's really good, too. Yeah. And there's Henderson, too, and he's pretty good, too. And it's like, there's so much depth in the right. I mean, Scadaboo was
fourth rounder,
and I think in this draft class he's running back two, running back three at worst. You know, like he was 7, 8, 9 last year. I mean, there's so much. Tootin, you know, all these guys that went. Kyle Manongai, round 7. Devin Neal, I have to address him, but guy after guy. I mean, we talked Woody Marks. So many guys were contributing, but that was such a deep class. And this year kind of feels like back to kind of some classes of a few years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm very curious how it kind of just shakes out and who addresses it. But I like that one. But we have a couple more minutes, so we'll just get into, like, I had a personal hope, and this is, I don't want to spoil free agency pods too much. That's why I've been trying to, like, not.
Yeah.
But I can't help myself because I also want to talk about it. And it's
you?
Fun. I know. I know. I know. I had someone say to me the other day, they go, yeah, Nate was quiet, and then we started talking about the Bears line, and all of a sudden he just couldn't shut up. Someone showed me a group text where they said that. I was like, you get a couple subjects for me. I get very excited about it. You got board games, too. We got Twister. We talked about that the other day.
We see eye to eye on so many things, especially football-wise. We view the game pretty similarly. But, like, I could not be farther away from you from, like, movies, wrestling, and board games. So it's good that we're friends.
Yeah, I know. It's like, just let me be me.
Yeah. I'm good at that.
There's a big angry nerd just bottled, like, right in here. This right here. This is a big angry nerd. I just hide it.
So speaking of which.
Yeah, speaking of which. Okay, but wrap up. This is defensive free agents I did want to see. Like, Joseph Masai, I think, is not getting the kind of love that he got because I thought he really improved for the Bengals last year. I know the Bengals defense was terrible, but they actually improved in the second half of the year. But he's a guy that I'm like, I feel like he should have more market because he's young. He's done enough, or there's some flashes there. He's got traits. Leo Chanel from the Chiefs. Yeah,
that's a fun one.
Very particular player, but like say he goes to the Bills with like Jim Leonard.
Yeah.
Like that, I really like the fit.
Yeah. Walk him up to the line of scrimmage.
And do some funky stuff. And actually, I think he coached him before actually at Wisconsin, so it actually makes sense. Cam Curl from the Rams, just a real smart safety. And I think he could be one of those like Jordan Reed was for Justin Reed. Sorry, Jordan. Justin Reed was for the Chiefs after he got signed. I think it was from the Texans at the time. But just shored up everything. He just was like solidified. And I think Curl could do that for a defense that needs top-end help. And then Boye Mafe from the Seahawks. I think he's got a lot of juice. Mm-hmm. And even though we're talking about the run a lot, getting after the quarterback is what gets you paid. Totally. I think he has that. So we're going to be wrapping it up today from the Combine, wrapping up our shows this week from the Combine to Indianapolis. Thank you to Matt this whole week joining me. Hope Charles is okay in the snowstorm.
Yeah, has he gotten the bobsled out yet? That's the question.
God. He like quote tweeted. He's like, I'm doing all right. Like after one of our shows. But that's it for us on the Yahoo Sports Network as well. If you're watching on YouTube, we're going to be wrapping up as well. We're wrapping up this pod. Thank you to everyone helping this week. Adi, Colin, Madison. Great seeing these guys as always. Probably next time I see you guys is what, draft?
Yeah.
Should be fun. Yeah, we got draft show. Don't you guys worry. And also, thanks to Stone back home. Missed you, bud. What the heck? But no, great. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for your help. Thank you guys for joining us live here on Football 301. Make sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. Like and subscribe there. Yeah. Watch us live there. But thank you so much. We'll see you guys next time.